Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies. Here's your host, Peter Herbeck.
Welcome, friends. This is Peter Herbeck, your host. Happy Easter. We're in the octave of Easter, celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Blessed be God. What a gift. The central truth of our faith, that Christ has passed from death to life and in himself has begun the new creation, the Father's plan to save those who bear his image in the earth, to save us, a race of people destined to be eternally separated from God because of the fall, because of sin and death, has sent his Son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son that whoever would believe in him would not die, but would have everlasting life. Yesterday, if you didn't have a chance to tune into the program, it's kind of making my way through a section in the catechism that talks about the resurrection and its meaning. I think it's worth reflecting on it very deeply because we find in Jesus, we see in Jesus our own destiny, our future. Jesus has made a way for us. He's destroyed all that stands in the way of our passing from this life home to God, to be with God, and to share in the glory that belongs to Jesus, and that he has won for us this share of eternal life, this participating in his inheritance, in what belongs to him, what he had from all eternity. But now he has it, the second person of the Trinity, the Son of God, he now has and shares that full glory in a body, in a human body, the one he received from Mary, from Our Lady. And so this is what he's done. Look what Jesus has done for the human race. Look at the glory of our destiny. There's nothing. Only this can fulfill the human heart, the longing that we have. Nothing in this world, no idol, no achievement, no possession, no experience can ever satisfy the human heart. Only God can, because we're made for God and sin separated us. That's why we're such a sad race of people, so troubled always. You know, one civilization after another dies and passes away. Every day we see on the news more trouble. And human history is just filled with trouble, described as a veil of tears. You know, there's moments of wonder and goodness, but there's tremendous suffering and conflict and wars and all the rest because of the reality of the dominion of darkness in the earth and this slavish condition the human race has fallen into because of sin. And Jesus came in his humility and his love, and he revealed the power of God in his brokenness on the cross, and the power of that radical love, that complete self-donating love of the Son, which is the most powerful thing. It was the most powerful thing the earth has ever seen. And he was raised from the dead and raised to glory. Thanks be to God. Paragraph 653 of the Catechism. The truth of Jesus' divinity is confirmed by his resurrection. When you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. As we talked about yesterday, it's just key for us to be able to see this. His divinity, his claims, it's so important because some people want to say that Jesus never claimed to be divine, that he was the Son of God. It isn't true. He absolutely did. Many times those same people say he never bodily rose from the dead. Some voices even in the church. But this is the faith. Jesus said he's the I am. He's the Father's beloved Son. He and the Father are one and the same. Jesus was crucified in part because he claimed to be equal with God. And so I often think of C.S. Lewis's liar, lunatic, Lord scenario, trying to understand Jesus, because lots of people want to say, no, he was a prophet, you know, he's a wonderful prophet, or he was a holy man, or he was, as some folks will say these days, that he was one of history's most enlightened men, a long line of other human beings who were particularly enlightened spiritually. But Jesus, as C.S. Lewis says, doesn't leave us that option because he claims to be God. And how could someone who's enlightened, someone who is a wise, claim to be something he's not, especially claiming to be God? You know, he makes the point that there are lots of places in the world, clinics and mental institutions, where people think they're the Messiah or think they're God. Jesus makes the claim because that's exactly who he is. And he leaves us with the position of saying either he's a lunatic, for making that crazy claim, or he's a liar. He can't be a good man. It's not possible. He can't be a great teacher if he's claiming to be and he's lying about who he is, or he's God himself. And that's exactly what the church has proclaimed, the apostles have proclaimed under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, literally from the beginning. Paragraph 654, the Paschal mystery has two aspects. By his death, Christ liberates us from sin. By his resurrection, he opens for us the way to a new life. So those are the two fundamental aspects of the work of salvation. Jesus first becoming in the flesh so that he could become a sacrifice for sin. He came to take away sin's power over the human race. Scripture says, without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness of sins. The temple was an anticipation. The sacrifices in the temple of lambs and goats and the rest, these were sacrificial offerings made for sin, but they only pointed to what all those acts combined could not compare to the amazing, perfect offering that is Jesus himself. And it's an offering not of goats and lambs, animals. It's the offering of love. It's the love of a human heart that saves the human race in the person of Jesus. Blessed be God. So he died on the cross to take away sin, John the Apostle tells us. And he liberates us from sin's dominion. Sin's dominion is powerful because it leads to death, and it steals humanity's destiny, and it keeps us in this world enslaved to habit patterns, attitudes of mind and life that are destructive. Sin is a power, and it's expressed ultimately in death. Jesus destroyed that power on the cross. He swallowed up death in victory, St. Paul tells us. And so that whole regime of the powers of darkness is now been destroyed and conquered definitively by the person of Jesus. And now he's offering to each one of us through his church, he's offering each one of us the freedom to pass from death to life, to receive his victory and to share in that victory. And that's what happens in baptism. When we're baptized, we die to that whole regime of power. We're crucified with Christ. The old man is put to death. And then the second part of what the catechism is referring to here, it says, by his resurrection, he opens for us the way to a new life. Where do we get that new life? We get it in baptism. It gets communicated to us in that act. That's where we're born again, as Jesus said to Nicodemus, by water and the Spirit. Unless you're born again by water and the Spirit, you shall not enter the kingdom of God. Who enters the kingdom of God? Those who are born again, and born again means to have your sins taken away, have death destroyed in you, its power over you in the kingdom of darkness, and you're given a share in the new life, the new creation of the second Adam, Jesus, who is literally siring a new race of people in the power of the Holy Spirit. He's a life-giving spirit. So that's what it's referring to here, and that's where we access it. That's why baptism is so important. And the church's central ministry is to lead people from death to life. And that happens in the church through the exercise of the sacraments in the church and the preaching of the gospel. This new life is above all justification that reinstates us in God's grace, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. That's St. Paul. We are made just. In some ways, you say, what does justification mean for Paul? Well, one dimension of it, of justification, is life. When it says that salvation is a free gift, what Paul's referring to, what the church refers to, is no matter how hard I worked at it, no matter how much effort I might make or a human being might make to have life after death, to pass into eternal life, to have a life of sharing in God's own life, nothing could be done on earth by anybody to make that happen. This is God's free gift in his Son. And so salvation begins with receiving the gift by repenting of our sins, by acknowledging that we need the gift, that we're dying, and there's a power at work in us that we cannot conquer on our own. And what we need is the divine life. So John the Apostle would say in his first letter, what we've seen, what we've touched, what we've heard, we declare to you. We've touched with our hands, he said, that the eternal life has appeared to us. The eternal life from the Father has appeared to us in a person, in Jesus. And as Jesus says so clearly, he said, Father, you've given me power over all flesh to give eternal life to all you have given to him. Jesus has power to give the human race a share in what belongs to him. And what belongs to him forever is the glory of God, is eternal life. Again, Paul's wonderful passage here from 654 in the Catechism. He says, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. Justification consists in both victory over death caused by sin and a new participation in grace in this gift of new life given to us in Jesus. The paragraph goes on. It says, it brings about filial adoption so that men and women become Christ's brethren. As Jesus himself called his disciples after the resurrection, he said, go and tell my brethren. We are brethren, not by nature, but by the gift of grace, because that adoptive filiation gains us the real share in the life of the only Son, which was fully revealed in his resurrection. The Father glorified Jesus by raising him from the dead. Jesus said in John 17, Father, I have glorified you on earth by doing all that you've commanded me to do. Jesus did the will of the Father. The will of the Father was his life. How do I walk in Jesus' footsteps? And we can say the same prayer, maybe on your deathbed, to say, Lord Jesus, I have glorified you by obeying your commands, by responding to your grace, by saying yes to the work of the Holy Spirit in me, by allowing you and cooperating with you to lead me to life and to holiness and to deeds of love. And by your grace, I glorified you. Now, Father, Lord Jesus, glorify me in your presence. It's okay to say that because that's what's happening. Jesus is doing that. And we just want to say yes to it. And you're a child of God. This is what it means by adoptive filiation. That is to be, you are born again by water and the Spirit, and you're born again into new life. And that new life is in the family of God. And the Spirit that's given to you is God's own Spirit. And you become now a child of God. Everybody was created by God, and everybody shares the image of God, and God loves everyone. You know, he loves everyone infinitely. He loves them. But not everyone is a child of God in this sense. You're not automatically a child of God by virtue of being born. In fact, Scripture is clear that we're enemies of God because of being enslaved to the power of sin. But he wants to turn enemies into children that he loves, and that he's building a family. And Jesus is the head of this family, this new race of people, and he alone has the power to give us life to enter into that relationship. Again, that's why he is the only Savior in the world that ever existed. There is no other. There's no other religious leader. There's no other God that's named by other people that can give what Jesus gives. He's the only Son of God. He's so much more than a prophet, a teacher. He's the beginning of the new creation, the faithful witness, and the firstborn from the dead. God bless you. Have a great day.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The Scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.